Hello, friends. Welcome back to the second hour of Out of This World Radio with your host, Ted Marr, broadcasting from the studios of KKNW here in Bellevue, Washington, on 1150 AM just outside Seattle in the United States. The program focuses on out-of-this-world information, including psychic phenomena, UFOs, metaphysics, and predictions for the coming years in Seattle, the United States, and beyond. The purpose of this program is to raise consciousness and make this planet a far better and much happier place, and I know that with everyone's help, we'll make this place a better planet. We're continuing now during our second hour. The first guest I'll be having on is Winston Stroud, a fascinating gentleman who helps provide people with wonderful alternative legal solutions. Winston, are you there? We'll get you
yes,
on
I
here.
Am.
Oh, good. Can you hear me okay?
Yes, I can.
Okay, great. Great. Winston, could you tell my many listeners a little bit about your background and how you help people?
Well, my own personal background is no particular consequence, but since about 2004, we have been doing seminars across the United States, Canada, Australia, New Zealand, London, England, so forth. To teach people about commerce, to give them a little bit of a better focus on what it actually is, and then to go into some of the remedies for problems that do arise from time to time, you know, as they start to interchange in the public and so forth. And so we've had a good opportunity to spread that information very widely. Matter of fact, a couple weeks ago, I was in a Skype conversation folks down in South Africa, and they had picked up on some of the information and wanted to know how to apply it in their particular country and so forth. So we talked that over. But more than that, I do have a seminar coming up, the title of which is Removing Commercial Karma. Now, I've styled it this way, given indication to people in the communities of spirituality, enlightenment, and so forth, that we do have solutions for some of the physical third dimension problems which hamper them as they attempt to progress in some of these more spiritual matters. You know, for instance, you know, it's real hard to concentrate and meditate when you got a third-party debt collector banging on your door, or when the sheriff is there to throw you out on the street for a mortgage foreclosure.
Right.
So, certainly the technology that we have developed over the years would help people to rid themselves of this commercial karma, put themselves in a position to where it does not come back. And so we it's kind of interesting, you know, people have the tendency perhaps to compartmentalize life. I mean, they compartmentalize it into the, for instance, the physical world, and they compartmentalize the spiritual world or the esoteric, ethereal, you know, concerns and so forth. From my point of view, it's all the same thing. And that is, you very well can't avoid either of those two circumstances, because if you do, then your life becomes incomplete. And you can't make progress in either realm if you avoid the other.
Well, I want to forgive me for interrupting, Winston, but I know that you helped James Gillian recently with some difficulties he had with the government down where he had his ranch. How did you help him, by the way?
Actually, I didn't help him. It was a couple of fellows who had studied my information who were quite close with him.
Oh, I see. Okay.
And they applied some of that technology and so forth to assist in that matter. And then later on, when I did get a chance to meet James, he had told me about that. And there's a few plans we have in the making to further fortify his position and to secure mm-hmm. the property from any further attacks. It's good to have people spread out all over the place, because
sure.
you never know who's
sure.
going to need help.
Well, I know that from talking with James myself here a few weeks ago that even though he had valid building permits for all of his structures on his farmland, on his ranch down there, the local government down there still tried to shut him down. They went through some litigation. And finally, with the help of your materials, he was able to successfully beat back the government. They've left him alone. The only problem,
yeah, for the most part.
Yeah, for the most part. The only problem now is that the U.S. Air Force, based out of the joint Lewis-McChord Air Force Base, is spraying him with chemicals, with carcinogenic chemicals, and that's another problem. But
I believe we get that situation resolved. Also, it's going to take a little bit. I do have some international appointments and connections. I think I can bring those things to bear. So we're going to work on it from that perspective.
Wonderful, wonderful. Well, if people want more information, if they'd like to sign up for your wonderful workshop at James Gillian's Ranch this coming weekend, I believe it's a week from today. That would be September, let me look at my calendar.
Fourth,
fifth, and sixth. Wonderful. Where would they get more information, or they could sign up?
They can go directly to James's website, which is ECETI, which is ECETI, I think that's .org. They go onto his website, see the advertisements for that seminar.
Okay.
Or they can go to my website, which is WSSIC, standing for Winston Strout Solutions and Commerce.com. It'll be advertised there with instructions and so forth. And if you get real confused, there's a phone number that you can call the office, talk to the lady there, and she'll get you straight out.
Wonderful, wonderful. Winston, I don't have a lot of time today, my friend, but in a minute or two, please, are there any parting words you'd like to say to my many listeners?
Well, let's put it this way. Things are getting better.
Okay. Great.
We want people to be encouraged, and things are getting better. I mean, you know, from my perspective, the things that I've seen over the years, we're moving forward very rapidly, and great progress is and has been made. So everybody needs to look up.
Wonderful, wonderful. Well, Winston, thank you so much for coming on today, my friend, and we'll have you on again, and I hope you have a wonderful and fantastic conference next weekend at James's UFO Ranch.
It'll be great.
Okay. Winston, thank you again for coming on today.
Exactly. Okay. Thank you for having me.
All righty. Bye-bye. Bye.
Goodbye.
But that was Winston Strout, and his website again for more information is wssic.com. He'll be having a wonderful seminar next weekend, September 4, 5, and 6 at James Gillian's Ranch. And the following weekend, I will be there as well. I mentioned this earlier. I'll be having a Skywatch at James Gillian's Ranch, September 11, 12, and 13. I'll be giving a lecture on life beyond this planet. I have been in contact with the Galactic Alliance, and they promised they'll give us a show that weekend. They'll bring some ships in. It should be really interesting, too. And if we're lucky, we might be able to see some Sasquatch. They do visit the property, and there are also two healing vortexes on the property. There's one, actually, that was established by benevolent ETs, where they came down and actually did some energy healing work on me when I was there this summer. And then there's another small mound of trees that's said to be inhabited by Lemurian energy. And they also is a special area where people have said that the trees actually talk to them. Before we go on to our next guest, I want to remind everyone that tonight at the Seattle Unity Church, for those who are just tuning in, I will be giving a short presentation on the wonderful work of the Moto Peace Project and Dr. Moto's beautiful work. And I'll also be showing a prayer, a film called Inori, or How Prayer Can Change the World. The address is 208th Avenue, Seattle. Their telephone number is 206-622-8475, and I will be there from about 7 to 9:30 tonight. So please come down. The admission is just by donations. If you don't have any money, just come on down anyway. And also at 7:30 p.m. tonight at the church, I will be doing a special water ceremony prayer for Fukushima, Michiko Hayashi, and the wonderful Emoto Peace Project, as well as Hiro Emoto and Dr. Yasu Nimoto of the Emoto office in Tokyo, because of the wonderful work they do. Next, I'd like to play a pre-record that I did with Scott Lemriel. He's a contactee of the Galactic Alliance at Mount Shasta in a meadow near the summit of Mount Shasta a few days ago. I think you'll find this fascinating. And if there's time at the end, we'll bring Scott on for some questions. So please stay tuned. We'll have that. We'll play that now.
Hello, friends. This is Ted, and I'm up at Mount Shasta now with Scott Limriel. We had just finished the wonderful UFO conference organized by Rob Potter at Mount Shasta, and Scott and I now are walking around near the sun of Mount Shasta. It's a beautiful, beautiful summer day. The sun's out, and we're sitting underneath some trees just enjoying some sparkling water, and I'm going to have an interview now with Scott, and then we'll play it later on the air. Scott, how are you doing today?
Oh, I couldn't be better. So many people benefited in ways that are irreversible at this Mount Shasta conference because of the presenters and what was brought there, and they're going to take it away with them. Many of them experienced some things they never even dreamed was possible for the first time there. Ted and I are sitting in a couple of chairs near the base of the Mount Shasta volcanic caldera, which is extinct. And the vibration running through here, the sound of spirit is very, very loud. And I got a little snowshoe cat here who's very anxious to walk around, and he's given me a little bit of grief, but for his own good, I have to calm him down.
I want to share this story with all my listeners that last night there were four people from the conference who drove up to the top of Mount Shasta to the same area where we are now. And just before dark at about quarter to 8 p.m., they saw four benevolent UFO craft flying around. One was multicolored in a rainbow pattern. Another one was in a white spherical orb. And two others, which were moving very rapidly across the sky in streaks of light. Scott, are there any spacecraft orbiting around where we are now?
Three. They've been over the conference the whole time. They were protecting the conference from interference, and there was no interference of any kind. Not in misused technology, satellite, phones, anything. And this happens a lot these days. There's a certain protection that goes along with people seeking to uncover hidden truth, especially what was taken from them without their consent or awareness. These three craft are piloted by human and several humanoid races. They're beautiful, loving beings. They are very advanced, and they're really looking out for some of us right now, and they need to. So they're here now, about 5,000 feet above us.
Now, to be honest with you, Scott, in this dimension, all I see is a beautiful blue sky. Are these craft in another dimension?
No, they're in this dimension, but they're I don't want to say cloaked. That's a Star Trek-y type term. They raise the molecular time rate of the craft just outside of human perception, sight and sound. So you don't see them, but they're there.
Could you please describe about how big these craft are and what the interior is like?
These craft were about 100 feet across in circumference. Each, they're the same scout-type craft. They come from a mothership, a larger vessel, which is in orbit above the planet. There's an even longer one. It's a mile long. It's in the ice rings of Saturn. There's a lot of them in the solar system right now.
Now, one of the things you told me a few minutes ago, Scott, when we were not, just before we conducted this interview, you said that there were three, there was a city beneath, a base beneath this Mount Shasta.
In the mountain.
There was a base in the mountain.
Yeah, there's a benevolent extraterrestrial base there.
All right, and then there was another vortex at the top of the Mount Shasta, you said, to Saturn?
Yeah, it's above the volcanic caldera. It's 3,000 or 4,000 feet above it. And then it opens through a portal, so to speak, and takes about, 30 seconds, a minute, minute and a half. Maybe 3 minutes, I don't really know in time sense, but it takes about that long to pop out of an opening in space near Saturn.
Now, is it possible, if you were hiking around here, to stumble into the vortex?
If you were invited, otherwise, no. It's not, you can't go through an opening somewhere else accidentally. You have to know what you're doing. Usually you have to raise your rate of vibration even to see it. But if you can do that, it makes it more accessible.
Now, I wanted to share a dream with you I had this morning. It was early this morning at about 5 or 6 o'clock in the morning. And I had asked last night Ambassador Trillian from the Galactic Alliance to please take me to the hidden city beneath Mount Shasta. So early this morning, I was camping out in the woods. It was about 5 or 6 o'clock in the morning. And I vividly remember dreaming going, being shown this beautiful city in white, but it looked like a city in Switzerland because it was set on steep mountainsides. And one of the buildings in particular had a dome on it, but it was completely in white. There were people down there, and it was heavily forested. Beautiful city. Could you please ask your friends where was that? What was I looking at?
Yeah, most people ask to go into a city under the mountain. That's not where it is. Usually they're taken when they leave their body at night because it's easier to deal with people without the, shall I say, the aberrations of the physical personalities on planet Earth, because things have been done to people without their will or consent, and this distorts their perceptions, makes them terrified of things that if they were not influenced by these things, they wouldn't be terrified at all. But you were taken through a portal to a parallel dimension on this place where Mount Shasta is there, and there is the cities, mountains, a sun, but it's on Earth, just a different vibrational frequency, a parallel dimension here.
Is this the city of Lemuria, of the remnants of Lemuria existing now?
Yeah, when Lemuria was destroyed here, there was a Lemuria in a parallel that was never destroyed, that's been protected. Some of the inhabitants of Lemuria and some of the that established a way of coming through doorways in this mountain to here, people have seen, actually go back to that parallel, to that Lemuria that was never destroyed. It's protected. And people used to know this stuff. People on Earth, everybody here, isn't from here originally. Human beings never evolved on this planet to begin with. Human beings are one of the oldest races out in the universe. They evolved billions of years ago in other galaxies and were brought here at one time or another over a 50 million year period since the last dinosaurs were extinct. And people used to know this stuff. They used to know it for themselves.
The Native Americans are very interesting around here. I talked to a lady this morning who does know, have some Native American contacts with the local Shasta Indians, and she told me that the Shasta Indians are also known as the Wind People because they trace their lineage from Lemuria.
Makes perfect sense. Most of those people that know anything about these doorways and the people and friends they associate with, they usually don't talk about it. I mean, they're nice people and they appear as just people, but they're very protective of this and their understanding of these things until people can appreciate and respect finding out about it and knowing how to have cordial relations with other people, having a balanced nervous system, emotional body, so they don't get terrorized. People on Earth have been implanted subconsciously to be terrorized when they try to confront truth or their memory of how they got to this planet and where they originally came from. That's all been wiped from people.
I have to tell you, I'm going to be having a gentleman on my show here soon named Eric. And by the time this broadcasts, I probably will have already had him on my show. But just to give you a little, he's a wonderful guy. He's a massage therapist. But his specialty, Scott, is removing alien implants from the etheric range. He himself removed 3 from me just 2 days ago. And I can't tell you how wonderful I felt since that time. Felt very light. I also showed him a picture of a friend of mine in Japan, and she had 5 implants in her. And it was funny because there was like a 16-hour time difference between when he was working on her about 5 p.m. my time, which is about 9 a.m. Tokyo time, and when he finished, I got this email from her saying, "What on earth did you do? I feel so much lighter and so much happier." And after he removed those implants, she's been ecstatic. She feels so much lighter because the negative implants had been removed from her.
Yeah, Eric, when I first came here, just coming into the conference, he was one of the people taking registration, a dirt road that leads up to the rented camp facility and building for the Mount Shasta Summer Conference. And he pointed to me and says, "You have an implant right there." He says, "I want to work with you. I want confirmation that I have this ability," because he knew he had it. He wanted to get encouraged to do it more. I said, "Okay, we'll work together." So he worked on me energetically with the massage for about an hour. It ended up being 2 hours. And we worked with certain superficial implants. I knew they were there. These are things I control. But he removed one from the solar plexus. The deeper implants, that's another issue. Deeper implants that bring back all the memory and higher faculties people have had taken from them need to be done or removed from technicians who are spiritually advanced and technologically advanced that have never been a part of this trap on this planet. And that's available. That's underway. That's coming here. So, yeah, Eric, then I sent him a whole lot of clients that day until he almost couldn't handle it. So, and Ted and all these other people were having wonderful experiences. He's a wonderful young man. He's got a family, and he does a very special massage energetic work. So, yeah, anybody that gets advantage of being worked on by Eric, this young man, through Ted's show, you're going to really be benefited.
And I just want to make this this note for the record, too, that there was a fellow named Dr. Roger Lear, who has since passed away in the last year or two. And he, from my understanding, Scott, specialized in removing metallic, metal-based implants. And the kind of implants that Eric removes are in the etheric, the energy level.
Actually, you could say that, but it's really in the electromagnetic field around your body. Those are more serious than the electronic implants, because electronic implants were really reverse engineered by military industrial complex people here in an attempt to create the kind of technology to control people that was being done to them in a more advanced way. And so there was a lot of experiment went on. People were implanted, messed people up. But those kinds of things, most of the people I've met that have had them either removed them themselves or had them removed, kind of tracking devices, that kind of thing. The implants we're talking about are done on a much more sophisticated level. You don't even feel it or know it's being done to you when it's done to you.
One of the amazing things is, I asked Eric during our session whether this works on animals, and he said he's never tried it before, but he'll try it. So I pulled up a picture on my computer of my favorite cat, Fluffy, which is a big fluffy kitty cat. he's an orange cat, and he said, "Notice his eye, his right eye, because his left eye was fully open, but the right eye was half open." And he said there was a reptilian implant placed in the cat, because the reptilians like to watch you, what you're doing, and track you. And I immediately asked him, "Can you take it out?" And he most certainly. So he started working on it, and within a few minutes, that implant was now gone.
Yeah, he's he's getting gifted. I put him in touch with some people. He'll find out more about it. They can help train him to do more of the deeper implant removal, but he's got a certain talent. And we were brought together so that I could confirm that for him. And that's my pleasure to do that. And now he's off, and he's going to be really beneficial to people.
Well, I can't wait to have him on my show. Scott, I know you've been in contact with Ambassador Twelling and the Galactic Alliance today.
Yes.
Could you... I'd like to invite him on my show through you. I'm getting messages. He's here, he said. Could you maybe share some messages from him? I'd love to have a few words of wisdom for my listeners.
Well, these kind of beings are far more advanced than all the other races in the Galactic Alliance or in the galaxy, the Milky Way or Andromeda or anything else. They're kind of the race they all look up to that originally brought them into creation a long time ago. They're 18 to 25 feet tall. They are human. We get their genes from them. He says, just to let people know that a transformation to this world and the people on it is now underway, and it will become more apparent in the days, months, and next few years to everyone on this earth. And it's being brought here in a way for the first time in galactic history, in a protected manner. This is going to take care of removing the implant controls that tyrants have been driven by for 500,000 years, not only out there in space, but from hidden behind the scenes here on the planet. So look forward to a bright future, because despite what it looks like around you, our future destiny has been significantly altered starting about 4 years ago, and that is irreversible, fortunately.
Well, I can't. That's such good news. As you know, I've been in touch with Michel de Nostradamus here for the past year, and he said also confirmed that the timeline has changed, Scott, and that we do have, in fact, a beautiful, bright future ahead of us. Actually, he said beginning in the 2020s and the 2030s will be 1,000 years of spiritual peace and prosperity.
Yeah, he did say that, but I think if you get in touch with him right now, and with Ambassador Trellian here, you're going to find that time is already geometrically increased. Instead of looking at us being a spacefaring race 2020 to 2030, the hidden government, hidden space program, they already are. They're using anti-gravity technology and other refined technologies, some of it reverse engineered, some of it given to them illegally, unfortunately not by the good guys. And when this planet reaches a little more liberation than it has now, the culture on this planet is going to experience, and not just for 1,000 years, but permanently, being a spacefaring interplanetary race. People's children and grandchildren will get to go on field trips to other worlds. That will be their schooling. Think about that.
That's pretty amazing, Scott. So if I had a son or daughter and he or she went off to a high school trip, let's say they go off to Mars or Jupiter for the afternoon?
Further out than that, maybe the Pleiades system. Yeah, Mars or Jupiter, but, you know, once they're cleaned up a little bit, that kind of thing. And this is normal for many millions of races out there that are human and humanoid, that their children grow up that way. There is no money. They're telepathic. They have photographic memories, use 100% of the brain they have instead of 6 to 10 we're told we use. There's a reason for that on Earth. And this is normal to them. They live 1,000 years to 20,000 if there's a spiritual need. But this is normal for normal human races out there. People on Earth have been so messed with, they have no idea anymore that they once knew this stuff. And many people around the world are waking up now to the fact that they were like that long ago. This isn't something human beings need to do to evolve in the future. They need to first get back what was taken from them, that's buried in the subconscious, and then move on from there.
Scott, I know you've just come out with a new book. Could you tell my many listeners about your new book, please?
Yeah, it's called The Seres Agenda, S-E-R-E-S. The fourth final edition just came out 2 weeks ago, Tuesday now. I had a rush job to get them, pick them up in Mount Shasta for this conference. And I had them rerouted through UPS to get them here a couple of days after I did my presentation, which was on Friday. Then they sold out in about an hour and a half. The new edition, I hired a top editor to go through that with me, and it has a special section in the back that I was instructed to write, but it's very unique because there is a special technique for the prologue and separate techniques involving this hue word we're going to demonstrate, which is not native to this planet, was brought here from people from out of town who use it to keep from ever acquiring a subconscious mind, and for many other reasons, very liberating reasons. These techniques, when you go through the story of what happened to Mark Zanfield and Janice Carter, human beings like us, when they discover who they really are and wake up to what was done to them, when you go through this story, you're going to start to have awakenings about your own nature relative to what's revealed in the book. Then as you go through it and finish the book, you can go, when you have any question, you go, say you go back, you realize in a dream at night that you know was real, you could bring it back in the morning, and you were on a human planet, and the beings are like I'm describing, and you're just blissed out, and you're just excited, and you want to know more. What was your link to that place? Then you go to the chapter where that was revealed, do a special technique, do the hue in a certain way, and then you begin to have the experiences directly yourself about the hidden truth that's revealed in the book. So it's an experiential book.
Wow, that's incredible, Scott. That's really amazing. Well, thank you so much for telling my many listeners about that. How can they order a book?
Well, they can go to my website at paralleltime.com. That's paralleltime.com. And just click on the link, buy the book here. Then it really goes to the webpage at the publisher. I don't take any credit cards at my website or sell anything there. And they can get it downloaded. And they can go to Barnes & Noble or Amazon, get it in different book reader formats or the trade paperback. And they can also go online directly to Amazon or BarnesandNoble.com and order it through them as well and have it shipped to them. The trade paperback is ready now. I'm just getting the ebook approved. Should be available by the end of next week. And I understand if you get an ebook, if you have the third edition, you can get the download of the new fourth edition for free.
Now, I remember from our past interviews, Scott, that you told you talked about how the Seres and the Galactic Alliance are instituting plans now to change the frequency of this planet and the frequency of also the negative reptilians and greys as well to transform them into all benevolent creatures. One thing I'd love to ask is, there's been some amazing things coming out, like for example, with Randy Kramer of the Secret Space Program, Corey Good of the Secret Space Program giving disclosure. Is that part of this change that you mentioned?
I've never met these gentlemen. I just heard about them recently through Dr. Sala. I watched a few videos. That's all I know about them. Whether they know it now or not, I can't say, but I can tell you that what they're doing in the end is exactly about this unfolding. I recently met people retired from the Department of Defense that are into this and awakening in it and very much involved, and nothing was done to them to harm them. They just, their consciousness just became more liberated. This is going to take place for all of them. No one's going to be harmed or killed or blown up. Tyrants are doing what they're doing off-world and from behind the scenes because they cannot control it. It's subconscious drives. And so they need to be given back the true freedom that was taken from them as well. And this is true for tyrant races off-world. There are some people on this planet that are convinced all ETs are good. Most of them are, but they certainly are not all. Not yet. That's just common sense. Look at the condition of this planet. If they were all benevolent, we wouldn't be doing what we're doing on this planet now, and it'd be liberated. So guys out there, girls, use some common sense on that one.
I know that you've talked before about Stephen Greer, who assumes that all aliens are benevolent. What do you think of his viewpoint on that?
Well, I haven't talked about him. I've never met him. I know who he is, and I don't criticize him one way or another. I just think that, well, from my own experience, because it's my experience, most of the beings, fortunately, that I've had interactions with from off-world are not only from other planets but higher dimensions, and they are benevolent. But I've also run into guys that most certainly are not respecters of human beings. Mm-hmm. So you have to go with your own experience that way.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. Scott, are there any other messages from your friends in the Galactic Alliance you'd like to share today?
What was that again, Ted?
Are there any other messages from the Galactic Alliance you'd like to share today?
Yes. Just one. There is an ancient primordial, or in the English language, or any language, it's like Hu, H-U. But it's not owned or possessed by anybody on this planet. And it's brought here to begin to reverse what was done to people. And it does exactly that in a protected way. But I never ask anybody to take my word for anything I say. I demonstrate what this is, give them the information, and then they're on their own to explore it, because I can assure them of one thing. If they work with it, they're going to find not only is the protection valid, but they're going to begin to wake up to everything, so many things they haven't even dreamed of before that they once knew. And it sounds just like this. You... When you do that in the outgoing breath for 10 or 15 minutes at night, it's always good. Here's another thing people can say. It's written a certain way for a reason. It's this. Send out telepathically, in your imagination, out loud or silently, this. Safely show me purposefully hidden truth on a grand cosmic multidimensional scale and the much greater knowing of the love within it. Everything comes from there.
Well, that's beautiful, Scott. Any other messages from Ambassador Trellian?
He says, hang in there, guys, girls, people of Earth, because this world is going through a transformation. But they're working it now in such a way it will not be a violent one. This is really important for people to know. How can they do that? Well, it's because something changed out there for the first time in galactic history, and they have a new tool to do it in a benevolent way. You can find out more about this by reading the book or watching one of my presentations on YouTube, like the one in Norway when I was there in October. They're free.
Well, Scott, thank you so much for taking the time to interview today. I'm interviewing Scott Lemriel, the author of the book, The Sayer's Agenda. It's a wonderful book. And if you do have a copy of the older book, I urge you to get a copy of his new book, because he's got these exercises in the back. We are sitting in a beautiful meadow near the top of Mount Shasta. It's a lovely summer day here in August. And it's just such a lovely time to sit and meditate. We're getting all kinds of good energy.
Just wanted to say one other thing. I also have it took me 35 years to write the Parallel Time Trilogy. And the first book of that is called The Emerald Doorway. This is about the hidden history of Earth and our solar system, and about extraterrestrial involvements back 100,000 years ago, what happened before the pole shifted, Lemuria, Atlantis, things like this. People remember this stuff and that are in this, and it starts in present time and ends in present time. But the main point of it is it was written before the Sayer's Agenda. This book had to come out first. The first book of the Parallel Time Trilogy is prepared for publication. It should be out with illustrations in about 8 to 10 weeks.
Wonderful, Scott. We'll have you back on then as soon as it's released. My friends, thank you so much for listening to Scott's interview, and I hope you have a wonderful day. Bye-bye.
Hello, friends. That was an interview I had with Scott Lemriel up near the summit of Mount Shasta, a really beautiful place. We were surrounded by wildflowers, and there was a little bit of breeze in the area. Beautiful blue sky. It was taken last Sunday. There's actually an energy vortex at Mount Shasta, and there's another one at Mount Adams. There's two on the West Coast, and they're both, from what I've heard anyway, entrances to the inner Earth. I'll be having on a fascinating lady on September on the show on September 11th named Diane Robbins, and she's actually been in contact with the people inside Mount Shasta, and she's met them, and she'll have a lot of fascinating things to say. I pre-recorded an interview with her while I was in Shasta before I left, and we'll be playing that on September 11th between 3 to 4 p.m. I've decided to go ahead, and we'll get a hold of Scott here early. We've got some time now for questions and also to go over anything he feels important. Scott, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here, Ted.
Okay, wonderful, wonderful. Well, I just played the interview that we did up at Mount Shasta, and there was a second segment. But, you know, you said I thought people might enjoy hearing you live, my friend. So this gives us more time to talk. And I was wondering if you'd – I'd love to hear your comments on your book and also, too, any recent messages from your friends from the Galactic Alliance.
Yeah. As you know, the final fourth edition, which took some doing to get out there with the
right.
special technique section in the back, is out now. The ebook is available now. The online retailers, of course, would probably still show a reading book example for the third edition, but if anybody orders it, they will get the fourth edition.
Okay.
It just takes a while for them to change that on their pages at the various online retailers, but it's available now. So let's get that out of the way. You know, a lot of people are worried about the white chemtrails they're seeing all over the skies now, Ted, right?
Yeah, they are. Mm-hmm. Sure.
There's a benevolent side to that.
Okay.
From what I can tell, none of those chemtrails are spraying everywhere worldwide or reaching the ground. And I think it has a lot to do with the intense amount of solar energy we're getting right now. It's kind of a shield, because if it was meant to be really deadly, we'd all be gone already.
Mm-hmm.
So I would like people not to be quite so concerned about that. There's another form of chemtrail spraying that you experienced a lot of, Ted, out in Moses Lake. That's different. That's when they spray low down and it's dirty looking, and that's not good.
Yeah.
So, you know, just take it with a grain of salt. Friends from out of town are telling me
mm-hmm.
to pass along to the listeners that we're getting some benevolent help. What I'd like people to be aware of is, let's face it, if it hadn't been some intervention, we would have already had a nuclear war on this planet.
Well, you know, if there hadn't been some intervention, we would have had all that awful, that radiation from the accident in Fukushima. And the poor people
yeah.
in Japan and Fukushima, they'd
right.
be seriously affected by now. But they're not.
No.
They're not.
In fact, that accident was 100 times worse than Chernobyl, and I think that killed many millions of people.
Mm-hmm.
That reactor just imploded, melted in. Those four
right.
blew up.
Right.
And that should have killed everybody in Japan.
Sure.
Part of China, the United States, it hasn't done that. So we're getting some help. I really like to put a positive spin on this. I know everybody's anxious about this transformation, that they want this world changed, and they deserve to have it changed. Hang in there, be a little patient, because we're getting a lot of help from the Stay Raised race, from my friend Ambassador Trellian. We're getting help from millions of beings from Galactic Alliance,
mm-hmm.
from races that are highly evolved human and humanoid races that are really concerned about turning this planet around. And they've got that program underway, so hang in there.
Well, that's a wonderful thought, Scott, and thank you so much for sharing that. I really, really appreciate it. And now, we talked a little bit about, during the interview at Mount Shasta, about your new book. Could you tell my listeners where they could get that again, please?
You're talking about the fourth edition of the Savers Agenda?
That's right. Yeah, I got two copies for you from you, by the
oh,
way.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
You can get that at any online retailer. I like going through Barnes & Noble, but people
mm-hmm.
can get it through Amazon.
Mm-hmm.
Order it through a bookstore. You know, it's easy. It's I think the price is still $16.95.
Okay.
There's another 58 pages in that book. This fourth edition, because of the special techniques I had to put in the back, I was instructed to do that. It took some doing, but I hired a top editor to go through the book. The typos are gone.
Sure.
Extra redundant words. It's been edited and proofed, and this section is going to be very beneficial to people when they start working with the HUE, the special word, mm-hmm. because they can apply it to any area of the book, the prologue or all 29 chapters. Mm-hmm. They can apply it to any area they're interested in exploring, and they want to have their own experiences about what I reveal in that book. Mm-hmm. This is the way to do it. So even though there are many more pages, the price is still the same.
Mm-hmm. Wonderful.
And same for the ebook.
Wonderful, Scott. That's wonderful. That's wonderful. I've been in, thank you so much for introducing me to your friends at the Galactic Alliance last year. He just, Master Twilling just popped in. He's here. He's listening. They all are, I guess, on the ship. So
yeah, yeah.
Many of them are. If they've got the time, they're listening now. And the entire studio actually has gotten quite light. It's kind of lit up like a bright light. It's beautiful. And thank you for bringing that energy here today.
Oh, yeah. My pleasure. I mean, I do all this work. You know, this conference you and I were just attended, the Mount Shasta Summer Conference,
mm-hmm.
I don't really go there to make money off books. It's
sure.
It's really, I bring them to make them available for people at a price. I think I sold them for $15, so they don't have to pay shipping and handling and all of that.
Right.
So it isn't about that for these conferences mm-hmm. where people can meet me in person or hear how I present to them.
Mm-hmm.
And as you know, when I do this, I actually demonstrate with the entire attendees how to raise this tone up, and we took the vibration right through the roof that Wednesday night when I presented, so
yeah.
A lot of people got a permanent benefit from that, and they're going to be finding that out in the days, weeks, and the next few years, just how permanent that benefit is. When they start working with the HUE, which was brought from other worlds long ago, and what it does, they're going to get a certain protection they're going to experience in their daily life, and it's important in my work that they find that out for themselves, because that's what makes any difference to another person is their own experience.
I have to share this with you, Scott. You told me a story during the conference where you had mentioned that there were three motherships above the conference. And, of course, you couldn't see them because they were slightly in a different dimension. Could you share the story to my many listeners about what happened, what some of the crew in the kitchen told you
oh,
what they
yeah,
saw?
Oh, yeah, I was doing my presentation,
right.
And towards the end, I'd forgotten about telling anybody about my own history.
Mm-hmm.
They wanted to know where this started for me at 2 years old and other experiences I had and
right.
how I got in contact with these races, benevolent races, and all that.
Right.
And then at the end of it, I was telling a story about one of the first things, not the very first, but one of the experiences I had, where I was in Washington, up where you are, Ted, in
mm-hmm.
Bellevue,
mm-hmm.
In Cherry Crest, up on a forested mountain and hilltop, middle of the night, snuck out of the house with a can of beer. I wanted to find out what it is that was fascinating to my parents and what this substance was. I was 11 years old. I popped that can of beer under this star-filled night sky, no moon, view of Mount Rainier in the distance.
Mm-hmm.
Next thing I know, I'm laying on my back, spread eagle, with this can open, unspilled, in my left hand, looking up at a ship about 30 feet across, saucer-shaped or disc-shaped, pulsing mm-hmm. from blue to white light. And there was a telepathic communication that began from a benevolent male aboard that ship, a pilot, human.
Mm-hmm.
This is how I started my experience. Now, to get to this conference, your question, there were three of these craft. They were about 100 feet across.
Mm-hmm.
They're bigger than a scout ship, like the ones I first experienced.
Mm-hmm.
Hovering about 5,000 feet, they were protecting everybody there. And when I told that story at the conference, I think this was before we did the 10 successively higher-pitched U's that we did together,
right.
sending
mm-hmm.
out the HUE.
Right.
I think it was after that.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, as soon as I said that I popped a can of beer and saw this ship laying on my
mm-hmm.
back, some people from the kitchen were outside looking up the sky, and right when I said that, a ship appeared,
mm-hmm.
came into visual clarity, moved a little way across the sky, faded in, faded out, moved this way and that way. And when I was done with my presentation, they came up to me all excited and said, "You know what happened? We just saw this ship as soon as you said that." So it was really something.
That's amazing. Now, you told me that it faded into view and then faded out of view several
yes,
times.
Yes, several times, which
mm-hmm.
was kind of as I told them. It's telling them that they have the ability to raise the molecular time rate of their craft. So it just shifts out of visual and hearing range for human beings.
Interesting.
It's still there, but you can't see it. And they
mm-hmm.
just move it in and out just to let those people know that they're there and protecting people.
Nice.
And that's kind of why they do that. It's just to let them know that you're being watched in a benevolent way, and it's kind, and they care. It's that kind of thing.
Well, what's interesting about the conference that we went to, both you and I attended last week, and the one that I attended at James Gillian's ranch about a month ago, is that James does get people from the military-industrial complex spying on him. They show up. Mm-hmm. But it's funny, James, of course, is a psychic, and I'm a psychic. When I was there, I identified it, the guy right off the bat. He looked like a military guy. He was from the Navy. If you put on a Navy suit, he looked like somebody from the Navy, but of course he tried to put New Age clothes on. But everybody knew who he was. But and I got to give this credit to James, too. He wasn't nasty to him. He said, well, you're here, and maybe you'll learn something. So nobody asked him to leave or anything, you know, no big deal.
No, they're just trying to check things out. They're a little worried about their power base and it's going to be changed. Mm-hmm. As you know, what I put out to people is that these people are being controlled and misdirected in that military-industrial complex on this planet.
Sure.
They have been for more than 60 years.
Sure.
Officially.
Sure.
So, I mean, they don't really want to be doing what they're doing. I can tell people that.
Right.
And they would like to stop doing it as much as we'd like them to stop doing it. So
mm-hmm.
that kind of a transformation has begun. So you're going to see more and more of these people showing up at these things really want to get what everybody else is there to get.
Mm-hmm.
And they're not really pulling out the guns and harming anyone. You know,
right.
they do show up.
Right.
They don't bother me, as
right.
you know, Ted.
Sure, right.
I don't get any helicopters over my house or any problem from that. I'm
right.
no threat to them.
Right.
Mm-hmm. I don't wish them ill will. I just want them to get back to being basically benevolent, kind beings. And they all
sure.
want the same thing. But they're going to have to get help from out of town, from off world, to change this place.
Mm-hmm.
We all are.
Mm-hmm.
It's beyond just doing it on our own. Everybody likes to think they can do it on their own, but
yeah.
the way this planet's been manipulated, we're going to need that help.
Well, I think for a lot of people around the planet, along the world, you know, there's nobody else to help them out, so they have to do things on their own. So that's the
right.
kind of the mentality. But I can understand that, and I can also understand, too, that we do need – it'd be great to have some help. So,
yeah, and basically the message I'm sending to people and then the techniques to explore it, more importantly,
mm-hmm.
So that people can work with this special vibratory word that connects with these benevolent beings.
Mm-hmm.
And people begin to experience a certain awakening of what I call knowing certainty. A normal human being should have a knowing certainty about looking in the universe, looking to other planets, looking to higher dimensions, getting out of their body. This is normal for any beings outside this planet.
Mm-hmm.
People on Earth have been deprived knowing this or even remembering it. So basically my work is about helping them begin the process of getting the help, connecting with those benevolent beings that can help them unravel these subconscious knots. And then they begin to awaken things that they'd forgotten long ago. They begin to have experiences at night while they're out of their body.
Mm-hmm.
They begin to bring back more memory of it. And they begin to have their own experiences about how to be discerning about what's good and what's bad out there.
Mm-hmm.
They just know it.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, this is really important that people have this experience for themselves.
I want to tell you that I shared the hue with the Crystal Voyage Bookshop in Tacoma. And I stopped there this morning on my way up to the studio. And several of the people who work there came right up to me and said, Ted, thank you so much for teaching me the hue. I've been doing it every night, and it's completely changed my world. I'm just so happy.
yeah, this happens a lot. I get emails from all over the world with people starting to work with this. You know, it's important they use their creative imagination to imagine what it would be like to be a free human being,
sure.
to be able to get in and out of their bodies at will, have photographic memories, use 100% of 100% of the brain they have.
Right.
Be telepathic. This is normal. People
right.
have long since had deprived them the understanding of how normal this really is.
Well, pardon me for interrupting, but I think it's normal to be happy rather than not happy. It's
sure.
normal to be loving and kind and generous with people and benevolent and sweet. That's
Absolutely.
Normal.
Yep.
To be full of hatred, to be angry, to be negative, that's abnormal. And that's not human. That's not really human
nature.
No, right.
And one of the ways tyrants control people on this planet is to get you hating them.
I see.
If they can get people using their imagination, which was meant to be used only one way.
Right.
If they can get people splitting their imagination to think a negative destiny for themselves and their planet, and at the same time love their family and want survival and the best for them, this splits the consciousness in half.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where the frequencies come in, where tyrants control people. They want you to hate them, to fear them, to be mad at the Republican Party, the Democratic Party, or one
mm-hmm.
president or another.
Mm-hmm.
It's all an illusion.
Mm-hmm.
As long as people have that going, then they're adding their imagination into linking up with that kind of thing. I try to get people to pull out of that and use their imagination just to imagine a beautiful destiny for themselves
mm-hmm.
and their family and the future of this planet. And more than that, to imagine a beautiful destiny for the whole creation beyond their planet. That's the way normal human beings operate. If people were exposed to the vast majority of beings out in the universe that are benevolent in this way, other human beings I'm talking about that live in other worlds, it would shock them terribly because they're so not used to it. There's a few tyrant races out there, but most of them are very, very advanced and very kind.
Mm-hmm. Well, I agree with you, Scott, and you always have such wonderful words of wisdom. For those who are just tuning in, this is Out of This World Radio. We're having a wonderful discussion with Scott Lemriel. He's been a contactee of the Galactic Alliance for the past 54 years, and he's just finished his fourth edition of the Saviors Agenda, in which he shares many of his techniques in contacting the Galactic Alliance, as well as the Hue, which is a wonderful way to plug into their protection and communication. We've got a couple minutes, Scott, but before I go off the air, I wanted to say to thank everyone for listening to Out of This World Radio and their wonderful support. Tonight, if you are in the Seattle area, just want to mention again that I'll be at the Seattle Unity Church at 208th Avenue in Seattle. Their telephone number is 206-622-8475. I'll be showing a wonderful film called Inori, or How Prayer Can Change the World. It's actually a very famous film in Japan. I showed it once a couple of months ago at the Baha'i Center over in Bellevue, and this is the second time it'll be shown tonight. Also, too, at the very beginning, I'll be giving a presentation on the wonderful work of the Emoto Peace Project and the wonderful work of the late Dr. Masaru Emoto. The attendance is free. Even if you're broke, come on by. We'll be doing a water ceremony at 7:30 p.m. tonight, and if you're not in the Seattle area, I would appreciate it, really appreciate it, if you could do a water prayer and cover both Fukushima and the beautiful people of Japan in a golden light to protect them from the radiation from the reactors there, and that would really help. Again, the admission tonight's free, but I am requesting donations to the Emoto Peace Project. 100% of all the monies collected tonight will go directly to the Emoto Peace Project and their wonderful director Michiko Hayashi. To pay for the distribution of the making and distribution of their angel water, which has been proven to prevent cancer in children, to the children of Fukushima. But anyway, with that, Scott, we've got about 3 minutes left. And are there any wonderful messages from Ambassador Twillian you'd like to share? He's here now, by the way. He just came in. So
yeah, he's. You know, when I talk with him, it's telepathic. He doesn't channel through me or control my psyche. It doesn't work like that.
Right.
Mm-hmm. The benevolent beings out there I work with don't work that way. They just more telepathy. It's more like one-on-one communication, you know, when I can see him talking to me and I sense him and I feel him, kind of like what you do, Ted, these days.
Yeah.
It's a very telepathic thing, and he's basically just saying that if people look to the media, which is very controlled corporately on a classified level all over the planet.
Right.
They're not going to see signs, anything, but they're going to see nothing but negative portrayals of everything because they want people to be frightened and controlled.
Mm-hmm.
And this is natural for people. Mm-hmm. They're going to, if they look to that, they're not going to see, without some investigation, the kind of signs that you and I, Ted, are seeing about the protection around the Fukushima disaster, the chemtrail thing, the good and the bad, they're going to be in terror subconsciously, and these implants in their subconscious are going to be stimulated to stop that.
Right.
And this is something people can try. All they have to do, and this he's telling me, send out the Hue whenever you're terrified, whenever you have an implant affecting your nervous system and you're suddenly afraid for no reason, or you're suddenly angry, or you're suddenly wanting to view the future in a negative way. If you stop right then and there and you send out the Hue, which sounds like this,
Hue,
outgoing breath, it just vibrates the head upward of the pineal gland, the center of the brain, and protected connection occurs there. People need to experience the benevolent nature of this for themselves. My words don't mean anything. But when they do this and experience it for themselves, they're going to be able to find that as soon as they get stimulated from one of these problems, it's going to shut that implant off. It's going to shut that subconscious effect off. And what surfaces more of their direct knowing. And each time they do this, they get stronger and in more control over what was done to them subconsciously. And then eventually it leads them to have the direct experience of having these subconscious controls removed. But this is something people need to try for themselves. They get in trouble and they're having problems. If they can remember to stop and just hew. Bad ET approaches them. They're going to get abducted. If they hew, they will find they have instant protection from that stuff.
Wonderful, wonderful. Well, Scott, thank you so much for coming on, my friend. And my friends around the world, I want to thank you so much for listening and supporting Out of This World Radio. I'm sending you all lots of love, light, and gratitude so all your days will be happy and bright. For a better planet, signing off here from Seattle. We'll talk to you next week. Bye-bye. Have a wonderful weekend.